Something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
And welcome to a brand new week. It is Nicole Sandler here with you on Air America Radio. And, well, we're going to hit the ground running tonight because, well, you know, just when the country is embroiled in this major health care debate, it came right home to roost in the Sandler household today. Oh, yes, it did. Let me give you a little background before we jump into our first interview. And I'll tell you, just the timing of this thing couldn't have been better. All right. I lost my job, my full-time regular job, back in August. I was doing the morning show on a Clear Channel radio station here in Miami. And, well, we know. I mean, it's the economy. It's the way especially the broadcasting business has been, downsizing left and right. So this is not about me losing my job. But in August, I became unemployed. And so with my job went my employer provided healthcare. Now, yes, I paid my share of it. And this is not a bitch and moan session about the fact that even though I had great health insurance when I was hospitalized last year with pneumonia, my share I'm still paying off and will be for the next 5 years. No, this is not about that. When I lost my job, I went on COBRA because that's what happens. You lose your job, you are eligible to continue the same on the same health insurance plan that you were on when you were employed, but you have to pay the entire cost plus an extra surcharge for the administrative fees. Yeah, we know how that goes. Well, much to my surprise, the premium for me, for myself alone, was at the time a manageable something like $325 a month. It's like, wow, that's a shocker. Okay, not as bad as I thought it would be until I kept reading. You see, I have one daughter. My family is a family of two, me and my kid. Very healthy child, by the way. Well, except for her ADHD, which is another story, and we'll get to that. To put my daughter on my policy, which she was on under my employer, would more than double my premium from the $325 a month to $760 a month. Kind of insane, right? Right. So I went shopping around. I figured, all right, I'll get her own policy. She's a healthy kid, again, except for the ADHD kind of thing. So I got her an insurance policy. It costs about $100 a month. I think it's actually $106. Okay. But except it doesn't cover ADHD. No mental health issues, even though the doctor said it's not a mental health thing. It's a neurological thing. Doesn't matter. This insurance policy will not cover her for the medication or for the counseling sessions I have her in. So I pay those out of pocket, and it still comes to less than what it would be to put her on my COBRA plan. All right. So a few months went by, and really I was squeaking by. And my medical, I've got a couple of pre-existing conditions. I have a thyroid issue, thyroid disease. And I have, I had a malignant melanoma last year. So it is imperative that I not be uninsured because, as you know, you've heard my rap about for-profit health insurance is government-sanctioned extortion. I really believe it. If I go without paying my health insurance premiums for, I think it's over 63 days, that's it. I will never get insured again. If you have uninterrupted coverage, then chances are, you know, if you do get another job, you will be able to be covered. As long as you haven't had an interruption in your coverage, that's where the extortion comes in. You got to keep paying, you know, in case you need coverage down the line. Basically, that's what it is. All right. So here we are. Now, during some of those dry months, yeah, I admit I let her premium go a little bit, but I kept getting bills from her health insurance company. And in fact, there was one point where she was running a really, really high fever. So I took her to the doctor. And I was ready for them to say, your insurance is not valid anymore. It's not working. But they didn't. So I paid my copay and all that. And I figured, now that I've been working semi-regularly here at Air America, thank you very much, let me bring her premiums up to date. So in June, I sent in $300. And in July, I sent in $300 more, brought me current. Okay? Well, I get this letter from the insurance company on Friday saying that this check, this last check I sent July 15th, in the amount of $300, has not been applied to your account due to lack of information. Please provide us your member ID as soon as possible to the following address. I pay all my bills through my, online, through my bank account. Well, and here's where the nightmare began. First of all, I called the number that is on this letter. I feel like just dialing it here live on the air so you can hear what I get, because it's really kind of funny. But I can just do it for you. You dial the number and it rings, and then you hear the phone pick up and you hear, and then a beep. Well, we were having major thunderstorms here today, and my cell phone was not working right, and I kept thinking, every time I called, that happened, like three times. And I thought, am I just getting cut off? My cell phone kept cutting out. And then I called on a house phone, and the same thing happened, and I realized that some moron, that's their outgoing voicemail message. And then it goes to voicemail. And, of course, nobody gets back to you. So I find the main number for Vista, which is this health insurance plan here in South Florida. So I call the main customer service number, and I'm on the phone with them for I can't even tell you how long. I know it was at least a half hour, and I'm being generous here. And what finally I find out is after this woman couldn't find my daughter's account and everything, she said, oh, this policy was terminated December 31st. I said, excuse me? Well, I sent in a payment. I know I've made other payments since then. And I know I sent in a payment of $300 on June 12th and another one on July 15th or something like that. And she said, yes. Oh, the June payment, yeah, we see that, and it's here. I said, well, you have my payment, but the policy was terminated December 31st. Why was I not notified this, and why do you still have the payment? Why didn't you send it back? And she made some nonsensical reply to the effect of, oh, well, we don't do that. You have to request that the money be sent back to you. Really? All right. Okay, now what about this other $300 that you can't find? So she finally found it. And then I get through all of this, and yes, I'm frustrated and I'm cranky, and I'm like, you canceled my kid's insurance. So she's been without health insurance now since December 31st. I want to speak to a supervisor. And so she put me on hold again. Well, it was at this time that my other phone rang, and it was Congressman Rob Andrews from New Jersey. And Rob Andrews is the chairman of the House Subcommittee on Health, Employment, Labor, and Pension. He is one of the people who helped write this new bill, H.R. 3200, America's Affordable Health Choices Act. And I had called earlier in the morning requesting an interview with him about this, knowing that I wanted to deal with health care tonight. So that is our first interview of the night. Now, you got to keep in mind, he called just after I spent an inordinate amount of time with this idiot on the phone who explained to me that they canceled my kid's health insurance as of December 31st. Thank God she didn't have an emergency between then and now. And on top of that, they have my $600 that I paid in premiums. And on top of that, I've got a bill here. An invoice dated June 16th. So they canceled her December 31st, but they're still billing me as of June 16th with the due date July 1st. What the hell is going on here? So that's the frame of mind I was in when the phone rang, and it was Congressman Robert Andrews from New Jersey. Got it? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We'll take a break. I want you to be prepared. What you're going to hear is not the promotional, the professional, cool journalistic interview that I usually do, like I do, right? Instead, what you're going to hear, well, it started out sort of that way, but then you heard the emotional mother who just realized that her kid has been without health insurance for 6 months. That means that 63-day thing, done. I'm screwed, right? And trying to get some answers from a politician who maybe can help me, maybe can't. All right, so we'll take a break. Come back on the other side with my interview with Congressman Rob Andrews in just a moment. I'm Nicole Sandler. Thanks for listening.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.
Okay, Nicole Sandler back here with you on Air America Radio. One thing before we get started on this interview with Congressman Rob Andrews of New Jersey, if you want to join, there's two ways you can participate in the show tonight. You can call in 866-303-2270. Also, when I filled in for Tom Hartman the other night, he graciously invited me or offered me the use of his chat room. So if you would like to join in, there's some of his diehard listeners in there. You can go to TomHartman.com and click on chat, or just go to my blog, RadioOrNot.com, and there's a link to get to the chat room there. You can register. It's all free, and then you can chat as we go along. One way or another, I hope you'll join in or just sit back and listen. All right. So I introduced Congressman Andrews. Let me pull up my... do with my show sheet. There it is. All right. Congressman Rob Andrews of New Jersey. He is the chairman of the House Subcommittee on Health, Employment, Labor, and Pension. He helped to write the bill, H.R. 3200, America's Affordable Health Choices Act. By the way, there is a link to that bill, to all the provisions in the bill, both from my blog at RadioOrNot.com and from the page, the Nicole Sandler Show page at AirAmerica.com. So if you want to check that out while we're talking, you can. I started out by asking him, well, this question. Dennis Kucinich, I believe on Thursday, introduced an amendment to the bill that would allow states to offer up their own single-payer plans if there was not a federal single-payer program. Did you vote for that or against that?
I voted against that.
Can I ask why?
Because we don't want the Obama bill to fail. The Republicans, you notice, all voted for Dennis's amendment. And I don't think that they suddenly had a revelation that they want single payer. What they're trying to do is drive apart our coalition, which has been very delicately built. The right, the more conservative members of our party have had to compromise on raising revenues for this bill, which is necessary, having a strong public option, which is necessary and desirable. And the more progressive members have compromised by not pursuing single payer, but supporting a strong public option. It's a fragile coalition, and the Republicans are trying to do some mischief with that coalition.
Well, or perhaps, and maybe I'm being a little too philanthropic here in giving them credit, but perhaps they're just supporting states' rights.
I will tell you this, that what they're supporting is an attempt to subvert and sidetrack the one chance we've had in the last 20 years to get something done. And their eyes lit up when they saw this opportunity to divide the Democrats. And look, if they were interested in moving the ball forward for states' rights, they would have supported provisions a couple of years ago when Maryland wanted to tax big employers in order to help pay for Medicaid. And they asked for what's called an ERISA preemption, and the Republicans almost unanimously stood against Maryland's right to do that. This is sophistry.
Okay, well, speaking for myself as a private citizen, I think the only way we are going to get true health care reform in this country is to consider health care a basic human right and get the profit motive out of health care, because it's what's killing us.
That's why we have the public option that we do, because it will operate on a not-for-profit basis, and we think it will probably outcompete the private insurers. And when it does, people will have the right to join such a plan and have such an option. That's the idea.
And anybody would have the right to join the public option, even if they currently have insurance with a private company right now?
Eventually, yes. So the key to the word eventually is a five-year phase-in. But at the end of that 5 years, we reach a point where most people could join, and we think eventually we reach a point where everybody could.
Okay. Congressman Robert Andrews, I'm getting a little emotional here right now, and I hope you'll excuse me. It's not very professional, but at the moment you called, I just spent a half hour on the phone with my daughter's health insurance company and on hold most of the time. Let me tell you what happened. I lost my job. I can't believe I'm like in tears talking to you, but I'm not alone here, so bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
When I lost my job in August, I was offered to go on COBRA. So I did. It's my family's myself and my 10-year-old daughter. She's very healthy, by the way. I have a couple of, quote, pre-existing conditions.
Yep.
The COBRA for me alone was something like $325 a month. To add my healthy daughter on my plan, it would have raised my premium to $760 a month. Not doable for somebody who's unemployed. All right.
Right.
Luckily,
right.
So I found her private insurance, and the premium is a little over $100 a month. You know, she's got ADHD, so it doesn't cover her medication, and it doesn't cover her seeing a counselor. The two things I need for her that I have to pay for separately. But I have this plan, God forbid, in case of a catastrophic illness or an emergency, so she's got insurance on that route. But I'm paying a lot more for the other stuff, too. So, I've been getting bills from her insurance company. I was unemployed for a while, so I got a little behind. But in the last 2 months, I paid two payments of $300 each to get her caught up, right?
Right.
So, all along, I've been getting bills from her insurance company. Okay, I'm going to interrupt right here because this interview's on tape. Obviously, you could hear I was sort of losing it there. All right, we'll take a break and come back on the other side with the rest of my conversation with Congressman Rob Andrews from New Jersey on the health insurance bill. And wait till you hear his response to me. I think you'll be impressed. I know I was. And, yes, I've got my act together again. I'm not as emotional as I was, but this is a very emotional topic. I want to talk to you about it as well. Health insurance on the Nicole Sandler program. We'll be right back.
Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
And we are back. By the way, a lot of the music tonight is going to be moon songs in honor of the 40th anniversary of Neil Armstrong's first walk on the moon. So, a little aside there, just fun with music. All right, back to the interview that I was playing before the break. Congressman Rob Andrews from New Jersey called this afternoon, and we recorded this interview. It was about, I want to say it was around 3 o'clock Eastern when he finally called me, and I had been fighting with my daughter's now former insurance company, and it had just sunk in that they canceled her insurance without telling me, and apparently it had been canceled since December 31st. So now my kid has been without insurance for 6 months. So I don't know what's going to happen when I try to get her insurance now, because she's been without it for over 63 days. It's just, it was mind-boggling. So I'm talking to this guy who is one of the authors of the new health care bill that came out of the two committees last week, and I lost it with him. I mean, the tears started flowing, because here I was talking with a congressman about this issue, and I thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to let it all out, because if this is happening to me, I know it's happening to millions of other people around this country. I'm not alone. And I've always had the policy of being completely honest with my listeners. I've told you some things about myself that I'm not particularly proud of, but hey, I'm here. talking to you, the least I can do is be honest with you, right? So you're getting the unfettered, unfiltered, real deal here. And, yeah, I'm talking to this guy and telling him what happened, and I lost it. And the tears were flowing, and I felt like an idiot, but I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go with it. So I was explaining to him about the phone call that I had with this woman at the insurance company, and that's where we pick up the interview with Congressman Rob Andrews of New Jersey. So I got a letter back yesterday that this latest check I sent in for $300 didn't get credited to her account. I don't know, the wrong account number was on there or whatever. So for the last half hour, I'd been on the phone trying to figure this out. The woman finally told me that her policy was canceled back in December, actually. Never told me that. Meanwhile, I'd been getting these bills. They had her $300 payment that I made in June just sitting there, didn't refund it to me. They said because they have no mechanism for that. If there's an overpayment, you're just out of luck. They hold on to it. And I said, well, what about this other $300? And they said, oh, we don't have a record of that. Well, I do. So they have $600 of my dollars to pay her premiums. And on top of that, she's been uninsured since December 31st. Now, this is disgusting. I believe that for-profit health insurance companies, this is tantamount to government-sanctioned extortion. I don't know how I'm going to get insurance for her now because now she's been uncovered for 6 months.
I'm glad we're having this conversation, and you know, I'm glad you're emotional, and you should be. What's happening to you and your daughter is inexcusable, and it's why we have to pass the president's plan. Let me talk about your situation because it's frankly symptomatic, pun intended, of a lot of people's situations. First of all, when we're off the air, I'd be happy to get the details and speak to the state insurance commission, whatever state you're in. I think that insurance company has to refund your money, and I think we could help you make them do that.
Well, you know what, and I'm sure they will if I spend another 3 hours on the phone with them trying to get to the bottom of it.
You shouldn't have to do that, and that's another problem. Second point, for the immediate situation, I would think that your daughter is probably eligible for the SCHIP program because of you're losing your job in August, meaning she would have quality coverage at a very, very affordable price, and we could help you sign up for that, Frank.
Okay, I'm working for Air America, albeit on a week-to-week basis, so I don't know how long that will continue.
I'm almost certain that your income would be under the... Are you a family of two?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm almost certain your income would be... Obviously, we won't talk about your income on the air, but I'm almost certain your income would be under the threshold that your daughter would qualify for the SCHIP.
Right, and also, just so you know, it's not that I haven't tried. I've put in application after application, and I get no response. And I'm sure it's because there are so many people in my situation right now that they're overloaded. And by the way, I'm in Florida.
Yeah, well, with all due respect to Florida, I think there's a long history there of them not trying to enroll people.
Yep, you're absolutely
who are
right.
Eligible.
Yep.
You know, turning the cold shoulder to people who need this program. But ultimately, I think we could compel that to happen. Now, let me talk about how the president's bill would affect you if it became law, when
Please.
It becomes law.
Great.
When you lost your job in August, you would have had the ability to go into an exchange, which is a marketplace where you can buy health insurance. And your contribution toward that health insurance you would buy would be about 5% of your income. It would be 5% of your income after you got laid off, you understand? 5% of your unemployment benefits or 5% of whatever else you have coming in, not 5% of what you're making before you lost your job. The difference between the cost of that policy and your contribution would be subsidized by the federal government. You would have a choice of either buying your plan through a public option, which would run on a nonprofit basis, and frankly, I think would be more consumer-friendly for that reason, or buying private insurance if that's what you thought was best for you and your daughter. The policy would cover the things that you need. It would cover preventive care. Your daughter could see a pediatrician. It would cover hospitalization. It would cover catastrophic care. And frankly, based upon the diagnosis, it sounds like your daughter has, I'm confident, would extend to the services that she needs and is receiving or was receiving under your prior insurance. That's the way it would work. It wouldn't be this COBRA that's $700 a month, which is unaffordable. It would be a plan based upon realistic ability to pay. Let me say one other thing. it sounds like both you and your daughter have a pre-existing condition.
Yep.
It would be illegal for any insurance company in or out of this exchange to ever discriminate against you or her in premiums or in coverage because of that pre-existing condition. In other words, they couldn't say, well, you have condition X, we're not going to sell you a policy, or you have condition Y, and we're going to double your premiums. It would be illegal for them to do that, and you would have the same access to coverage at the same cost that anybody else would.
Well, that's how it should be.
And that's what we're fighting for. You know, one of the reasons why I'm so confident that this is the right thing to do is the insurance industry is fighting it so tenaciously. If the insurance industry embraced this and said, you know, this public option is just fine, I'd be worried because I would think we weren't doing enough. The reality is they're spending millions of dollars and spreading thousands of falsehoods about the nature of the president's plan and the public option. The bill that we reported out of the committee last Friday has a very strong public option. You would have been able to join it the day you lost your job last August, and I don't think you'd have the fiasco you have on your hands right now.
No, I agree with you, and that's what we need right now. Now, let me ask you best-case scenario. Best-case scenario would be that this comes, the Senate and the House are able to reconcile their respective bills, and you come up with something, and we get it done in the month of August, right, which doesn't look realistic at this point, but let's say best-case scenario. When would this go into effect?
The latest any benefit would go into effect would be 2013. The earliest any benefit would go into effect is 2011. So in the early parts of 2011, all the pre-existing condition changes would kick in. Help for the seniors buying their prescription drugs would kick in. What the law says is as soon as the administrative agencies are ready, they implement this. We've given them dates by which they have to do it, outside dates, but if they can do it sooner, they're required to do that.
All right, so when I talk to Republicans, most recently I've gotten into these flame wars on Facebook with people who, you know, I guess they listen to too much right-wing talk radio, and they think universal health care is a terrible idea because, well, every illegal alien will be able to get covered at our expense. Healthcare will be rationed. You'll never be able to get in to see your doctor. Now,
I'm so glad to be able to have this conversation because I want to debunk each one of those falsehoods. First of all, healthcare will be rationed. Healthcare is rationed right now. It's rationed by insurance companies looking to make a buck. They're rationing healthcare against your daughter right now who needs the services that she needs.
Because they ran
out of profit margin to pay for it. So we have rationing right now. The question is whether we're going to replace rationing for working people with healthcare for working people. That's number one. There's nothing in this bill, nothing, that would force Medicare or any private insurance company to deny anybody anything their doctor thought was appropriate. Second, so-called illegal aliens, I refer to them as undocumented people because that's what they are. No, they won't get health insurance policies under this bill because we feel there's not a majority for that. But when they go to hospitals, which they do, they have auto accidents, they get sick, they're human beings. They will be able to go to the hospital, and there are Medicare and Medicaid funds that will help those hospitals deal with the very large number of undocumented people that they have. And you know what? If someone wants to be against that, I say shame on them. In a country like this, if a young woman who's in labor comes into the hospital, I don't think we should throw her out in the street. Now, I think this is not the time of Charles Dickens here, and I think those who would disagree with that aren't living in the America I'm living in. And then the third item, I think you talked about, people being forced to give up their doctor and their health plan if they like it. That's just utterly false. That's just utterly false.
Well, right now, if you are at an employer provided health insurance, they're constantly changing plans, looking for something that's cheaper.
The truthful statement here is that no one can be forced into some kind of public plan. Now, frankly, if your employer changes plans, at least for the first few years of this, you're going to have to go with him or her. And I know people would rather not see that, but that's part of what we have to do to get this passed. But let me talk about some changes with employers. Employers will not be permitted to charge the family more than one-third the premium cost of the policy. You can't be 50-50 with the employee and only cover the employee. The insurance companies will not be allowed to spend any less than 85% of the money they take in on health care, on payments to doctors and nurses and hospitals as opposed to their overhead and their profit. That's a very dramatic change.
That's great, yeah. So
there will be no more lifetime policy limit. In other words, if, God forbid, yours is the family that has a malignancy or a serious brain accident, and you bump up against and exceed the policy limit, no more policy limits on these policies. The policy will pay for whatever your health care needs are for the rest of your life without limitation. You know, these are changes that are long overdue in this country. They're in the president's plan. It's why the insurance industry is fighting so vociferously against it, and it's why we're going to pass it.
Rob Andrew, Congressman Robert Andrews from New Jersey, here with us on the Nicole Sandler Show. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up this interview. And in the next hour, a guy named Steve Korek, wrote a guest commentary on BuzzFlash today. It's entitled 50-Year-Olds Are Unemployable Without a Public Option. It is a brilliant piece. And I just had to find him, and I did. He's a realtor in Montana. I found him, called him up, asked him to come on the air with me, and he will be joining us after the top of the hour. There is a link to his piece on my blog at RadioWeReNot.com, also on the Nicole Sandler Show page at AirAmerica.com. I encourage you to check it out, and or just listen, because we're going to talk about what he wrote. He's so spot on. This is something we all need to get off our butts and get as loud as possible about, because this is an uphill battle. We need health care reform. We need it now. We'll come back and finish up the interview with Congressman Rob Andrews in just a moment.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler. Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler on Air America Radio.
All right. As Yellow Moon from the Neville Brothers play, in honor of the 40th anniversary of the moonwalk, let's get back to the interview I did this afternoon with Congressman Robert Andrews of New Jersey. He is one of the co-authors of America's Affordable Health Choices Act, the new bill that came out of the House just last week. Here on Air America Radio. Right now, you look in the World Health Rankings, I think the U.S. ranks like 37th. I think we're right below Costa Rica and other countries. I talk to people.
Our infant mortality rates are shameful. Our rates of juvenile diabetes, although not totally related to lack of coverage, are shameful. Look, the reality is we spend more for health care and have the least equitable system in the world, and it's long overdue. People since Truman have been talking about fixing this. We have a clear-eyed, compassionate, smart, articulate president who's leading the way, and we're going to fix it.
I hope so. What do you need my listeners to do to get this passed?
We need them to challenge Republican members of the House and Senate to tell them what they would do better than what the president's doing. We're giving the other side a free ride. They're sitting back there and talking about what they don't like about this plan. And look, it's not perfect. If I were writing the plan, it wouldn't look exactly like this. I mean, I know you feel the same way. We need to challenge Republican members and, frankly, Democrats who voted no, and there are a couple of them, to tell us what they would do that's better. Give us an alternative. And I think what you'll find is most of those people will cut and run when you ask them that question, because what they really want is to protect the status quo, and that's not what I'm hearing from two-thirds, three-quarters of the people that I represent.
Well, I really appreciate the work you're doing. Congressman Robert Andrews, I'm sorry I got so emotional at the beginning, but again,
I'm glad you got so emotional. This is worth getting emotional about. This is not some, you know, arcane theoretical economic question. This is about whether your daughter is going to get treated the same as my daughter does, or some other person who's covered. I think that's worth getting emotional about.
Yeah, and the problem is I was just informed right now that she has no health insurance. So God forbid her appendix burst tonight.
As I said, off the air, I would be happy to try to help you with your SCHIP application in Florida and see if we can't get that done.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. But again, it's not about me. If this is happening to me and I'm a pretty smart, educated, capable woman to get things done, if this is happening to me, think about the millions of people out there who maybe don't have the resources I have, who don't have the knowledge that I have.
Yeah. I wish you were the exception to the rule, but you are the rule.
I know.
I wish you were the exception. But it's hard to find a person in this country you don't run across who's had either a bureaucratic nightmare with health care or isn't insured or doesn't get covered for what they think they were had covered for. And it is a big job to fix this, but it is the number one job in this country right now.
You got that right. I spoke with Congressman Dingell last week, and he said that in his office he's getting close to as many calls from people saying they do not want health care reform as he is from people who are advocating for it. And he said with some of his colleagues, it's even the other way. He said those who, you know, who understand what it's about, who want this bill to go through, are not speaking loudly enough. Are you having the same experience?
I think that's true. I think people, you know, those of us who want this reform have to join together, even though we don't all agree on every aspect of the bill, and speak out, because it is always easy to vote no. That's the easy vote. The courageous vote is yes, and we need Democrats in particular to stand up and be counted on this vote.
Terrific. All right. Congressman Robert Andrews, thank you so much. Thank you for your work on the bill, and thank you for talking to us tonight on Air America.
It's my privilege. Thank you.
And there you have it. I will podcast this interview tomorrow at RadioOrNot.com in case you missed it or want to share it with someone else. Because, again, I know a lot of people are in the same boat that I am. As far, you know, we'll see if someone from his office calls me tomorrow. But I will be back on the phone tomorrow dealing with the SCHIP program in Florida, which is ridiculous because they just don't get back to you. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back on the other side with Steve Corrick, who is a realtor in Montana, who wrote a brilliant guest commentary on BuzzFlash.com today. 50-year-olds are unemployable without a public option. Great! See, now, and I turn 50 in November. I got it all going for me today, huh? I'm Nicole Sandler. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Nicole Sandler.
You're listening to Nicole Sandler.